Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, this morning, it's private nude photos of Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Upton. Tomorrow, it might be something of yours that you think is safe in the cloud. We'll talk cloud storage security and what Jennifer Lawrence calls a sex crime. Also today, Capital New York reports that Governor Cuomo himself helped to give Republicans an equal share of power in the state Senate, despite a Democratic majority the last 2 years. With that as a backdrop, we will interview the candidates in one of the most hotly contested races in next week's Senate primary, incumbent Tony Avella, who is part of that Republican empowerment breakaway Democratic coalition, and former city comptroller John Liu challenging Avella in his Eastern Queens district. That's coming up. And President Obama's one little line on Thursday that's been getting blowback all weekend about how to fight ISIS in Syria.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse. We don't have a strategy yet.
Don't have a strategy? Lots of blowback, but maybe he's being appropriately deliberate. And New York Times sports columnist Harvey Araton today on his new novel, Cold Type. We may touch on some U.S. Open and other real-life sports as well. But first, we know that today is the first day of school for many of your kids, depending on your school district. It'll be Thursday in the New York City public schools, the massive system. And it turns out that teenagers have a doctor's excuse now for being so difficult to get up for school. And those doctors want to prescribe a later start to middle and high school, no earlier than 8:30 a.m. It's official. Here to talk about what makes this a health and highway safety issue even, as well as an academic one, is Dr. Cora Bruner, professor of pediatrics and adolescent medicine at the Seattle Children's Hospital. Dr. Bruner is a member of the Committee on Adolescents for the American Academy of Pediatrics and one of the authors of their recent announcement about the preferred school start time of doctors. Welcome, Dr. Bruner, and I guess
Good
I should
morning.
Say bright and early in your Pacific time zone.
Oh, yes, but I've had my coffee, so I'm good to go.
Okay, and you sound full of energy. So teenagers have a physiological reason for being so hard to wake up in the morning?
Yes, they do. They really, the 8-9-year-old children that we know and love so much can drift off to sleep somewhere between 8:30 and 9. But the teenagers, who we may not love so much, actually can't really fall asleep before 11 o'clock at night. And that's due to a circadian and biologic change in the structure of their brain, and it also has to do with the secretion of melatonin. So they can't really get to sleep before 11, and yet if they have to be up by 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to get a bus to get to school by 6:50 or 7 to start school, they've probably only had about 6.5 hours of sleep at the most, needing more like 8 to 9.
So they aren't just being rebellious, staying up too late, texting their friends.
Well, they probably are doing that too. Honestly, I have 3 of my own, so I totally understand that is something that they do. But clearly, in addition to the technology and all the things that entice them to stay up later, they just can't get to sleep before 11. And even if we do push school start times back, which they have done in Minnesota, They still have noticed, interestingly, that these kids aren't staying up later because they can go to school later. They're still going to bed at around the same time. In fact, even in some schools which have pushed the school start back, they are going to bed a little bit earlier than they did before.
Hmm. So parents, teachers, administrators, what's your take? 212-433-WNYC. What time does or will school start for you if you're involved in any way in high school or middle school this year? 212-433-9692. At a later start time, be more practical for your household. Why do you think schools start so early now? How about those of you in education? Why do they start so early in so many high schools? 212-433-9692. How about this recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics? Dr. Bruner from that with us. Can it be implemented as policy at high schools and middle schools around the country? 212-433-9692. By the way, why 8:30? Why not 9 o'clock? The old traditional school clock is 9 to 3.
Well, this was a time that was basically what they did when they changed the school district starts in Minnesota and found that that would be the time that would meet the needs of everyone. Because honestly, Brian, there are so many different factors in pushing these school times back, which include not only the morning schedules for kids and parents getting them up for school and getting off to work, but also the after-school activities, which include the sports, the music, and even some of the kids who have to get home to watch their younger siblings. There's so many things that enter into this besides just changing the clocks back and changing the times back. That was the one that was the compromise that has already been made in multiple areas throughout this country that seemed to, even though negative things happen when you change, as you know, this was the one that was the most accepted.
So you say it is already a compromise happening in a lot of places. How many teenagers in the United States have to get to school before 8:30 now, or what percentage of them? Do you know?
Probably about 50-60% of kids are still having to get to school sometime between 6:50 and to start school between 6:50 and 7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. The Daily News reported, and I don't know if you know, looking at this at a national level and being in Seattle, have followed any of, you know, the New York City specifics here, but the Daily News reported last week that many New York City public schools are moving their start times earlier beginning this week to comply with a new teacher's contract that adds time for professional development and parent engagement and also stipulates that the school day has to end at certain times. I think it's even earlier on some days than other days, but in a way that left nowhere to go but earlier with the start times. So are you familiar with New York in that respect?
I am. Actually, I have family that live in New York, and I am familiar with that. And also, I've been interviewed multiple places throughout the country by different groups. And it is quite interesting because many people are pushing back, and even the kids are asking for earlier start times because of the competition for the good grades to get into college, to meet their academic needs, and actually out of the school academic and curricular needs. So it is important, and it is a public health issue, and I notice you actually have a master's in public health, and I applaud you for that. But this is a public health issue, as opposed to just it's challenging and it's expensive and we can't do it. Because, honestly, our kids are getting in car crashes. They are getting more depressed. They're making poor choices, including substance abuse and or even more problematic issues with their depression because they're sleep deprived. So maybe they're getting better grades, but they're not happy.
Maybe they're
meeting all the curricular demands of the school, but they're getting in an accident on the way to school. So I actually don't really buy the, this is really hard, but we have to suck up and deal with it anyway.
Do you have public health data to back some of those things up? Highway crashes or depression rates,
yes,
for example?
The data is pretty strong. And actually, our insurance companies have been very helpful with the two studies that have come out. And the range changes from a decrease in car crash rate from 17% and out of Kentucky, where the schools moved their school start times back, to way over 70% in some of the Minnesota school districts with the later start times, that the number of accidents that kids got in because of getting to school early and trying to park and find places to sort of wiggle around stop signs, et cetera. If they changed their school start time, their car accident rates dropped significantly. And those citations are all in the policy statement from the Academy of Pediatrics.
So if those, if that data exists, then I wonder why the grades would be better. You seem to acknowledge that, maybe students are very motivated in this competitive world. They want to start the school day earlier. I don't even know if that's true. But you would think if they were sleep deprived that their grades would be going down compared to the past.
Correct. And one of the things that they have in the study that came out of Wallstrom's group in Minnesota did show that grades trended to improve higher grades in those schools that had later school start times. But one of the things that was kind of muddy with the data was that some of the grades that were reported were missing. So it's very hard to track over the 6 or 7 years that they've been working on this data to clean it up so they could actually show a definitive change and improvement in the grades. It trends to improvement, but it isn't robust. But it is something that's clear that if you have a kid who because they're tired and fell asleep in class, they're not going to be as attentive and may not learn as much and then may not perform as well.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC on this morning after Labor Day and Labor Day weekend, first day of school for a lot of kids, school coming up for the first time on Thursday for those in the big New York City public school system. I know for some of you it started last week and for some of your kids. And so we are beginning this day after Labor Day with Dr. Cora Bruner, professor of pediatrics and adolescent medicine at Seattle Children's Hospital. She's a member of the Committee on Adolescence for the American Academy of Pediatrics and one of the authors of their recent announcement about school start time. The Academy of Pediatrics is recommending that for teenagers, for public health reasons, as well as just let them feel good reasons, that school should start no earlier than 8:30. Kathy in West Islip, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Our high school here starts at 7:20 in the morning, and I had two very motivated girls who would still fall asleep during the day because it was just ridiculously early. And I was told, because I tried to bring this up because there seems to be ample evidence that everything works better if the day starts later, is that it's because of sports. It's because the sports teams need to practice and the sports teams need to travel to games. And again, it's like the tail wagging the dog, just like it is in colleges now, where sports seem to take precedence over the academic benefit for the children. I think it's ridiculous.
Dr. Bruner, is that your perception too?
Well, that has been, and thank you so much for calling in. That has been a misperception, but it is a perception that this would significantly impact the athletics and or other after-school activities, including band or debate or whatever. But when you really look at it, if you do the change throughout an entire district, it doesn't change the way the athletics the way performance occurs in athletics. Because if all the schools are doing this, then the actual games or athletic events also would be later because they're playing against teams who have later school start times too.
So does daylight become an issue? Kathy, is that what they say?
No, I don't think daylight really becomes an issue. I think it's, you know, if our district, I mean, you're playing against other districts now, you're at the high school level, you know, so all the districts have to change. Is the thing, you know? I mean, it has to be a coordinated effort to just get the days shifted, you know? And it seems like it would be of such great benefit to these kids. And it just, you know, again, just to keep things as they are. Things have never always stayed the way they are. Things need to change
right. When
we see things get better. So I don't understand why. But it does need to be a coordinated effort because you are playing against other school districts, so all the school districts need to change.
Kathy, thank you very much for that. And Kathy was complaining about the power and influence of the sports teams relative to these other concerns. I don't know if you find that around the country. And I have to say, when we did this topic once before in the past, that also came up, that, you know, the sports juggernaut is just too powerful compared to other concerns. Do you feel like they're your enemies to some degree in this conversation, Doctor?
Absolutely not. Actually, I think that if you look at the way kids perform on the field when they've had enough sleep, they perform better. And they actually haven't looked at how many in the schools, they haven't really looked at how well the teams did when they had later school start times. That would have been an interesting variable, but it wasn't one that they looked at. But in general, mood, which is one of the things that kids are looked at, the outcomes of mood is something that is very important, and they're less depressed when they get enough sleep, and they make less risky behavior choices, including substance abuse and other issues that affect our wonderful population. So clearly, if you look at it from an athletic standpoint, if you have kids that are less depressed, not using drugs, then they're going to probably perform better on the field.
You have to do that study. Can they set the pick on the basketball team better on 6 hours of sleep than on 7 hours of sleep?
Right.
Deborah in Trenton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
My teenager, he was 12th grade, and he went through the whole thing. He couldn't wake up, and he used to tell me, "Mom, I don't know what to do. I just can't wake up in the morning." And I did the whole suck it up. Everybody's getting up for school in the morning. You need to. And it's actually listening to this show, listening to you guys, it actually is a problem. You know, and I just feel so guilty because, you know, my son now stayed back because he wasn't, didn't make it to school on time, didn't get the credits he needed. And now he's suffering the consequences from not being able to wake up, and now he has to repeat again another year.
Deborah, let me see if I can get some advice for you, because Dr. Bruner, I guess it sounds like Deborah and her child are at the extreme end of this. If he's one of those who has such problems getting up that it actually was really affecting his academics and even, you know, had to be left back a year, what advice can you offer Deborah as an individual until the system changes?
Well, and I'm so sorry, Deborah, that you're going through this, because it isn't the first time I've heard this, actually.
Doctor, it's not me, it's my son I worry for, his well-being. Well, he's not sleeping at night, and he's not waking up in the morning.
Well, there's many things you can do to help, and at the very beginning in the grassroots level is what many, many parents that are proactive are doing, which is calling their school boards and getting involved in this policy change. There's a number of grassroots organizations. Later School Start is one, where families and parents in particular are advocating for later school start times. The other thing that parents can do is actually get into the schools and request that their child be allowed a later school start time, and allow your pediatrician or family doctor to help with a note to school to allow for a later school start time in order for the child to be more attentive. And again, the thing that also we do have to do as parents is assure that the electronic devices and the amount of caffeine consumed by our teenagers is also decreased, so that they do get to bed at a good time, which would be no later than 11 o'clock.
Yeah, he's no caffeine, nothing like that. It's just, I think it's more like a biological thing, you know, and I just wish I would have heard this sooner.
I wonder, you know, I'm trying to still think about you as an individual, Deborah, and not just this at the policy level, Dr. Bruner. Do you think, Deborah, if her son is extremely sensitive to this issue, and of course we don't know just in a phone call to radio station what else is going on, but if he's just extremely sensitive to sleep deprivation and the early start time, have you ever heard of parents getting some kind of accommodation for an individual kid who just, you know, has more trouble than most, simply as the mom put it, sucking it up and showing up as early as the school schedule demands?
Well, absolutely. And we do have that in the state of Washington, where the accommodations could occur by a doctor's note, and it's called the 504B plan, where they could get a later school start time. Also, we have in the state of Washington allowance for children 11th and 12th grade to be able to go to community college in lieu of going to the actual academic high school and getting community college credit. And many of the community college classes actually start
much later,
at reasonable time.
That's so interesting. Deborah, did you want to say something else?
I think that it's a good idea to start at a later time. 9 to 3, I think, would be a much better time for these kids. I mean, times have changed. Kids have changed. It's not the – he's just – I tell you, I did everything, alarm clocks, everything. He's just is not waking. Yeah. He sleeps so hard. He's up late. He's just not waking
up. Well, Deborah, maybe there's some advice there in that last exchange for some options for you to help your son. And thank you, and best of luck to your family. Don in Ridgefield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Don.
Oh, good morning. I'm a parent, have had two high schoolers, and have been on several task forces regarding changing school start times. And one of the things I'm not hearing mentioned here, and that really it does come down in a lot of places to a school budget issue, that transportation becomes a cost in some of the outlying areas. And in addition to that transportation thing, I think the other thing that was brought up earlier was there's a lot more involved in what the community has to do. Kids who have to be home to take care of younger siblings. We have more and more two working parent families. And different things when you talk about changing sports, where the high school sports start later, how do the younger kids get their field time? When you're dealing with fields, there's a lot of different community aspects to it than just dealing with making the change of, change the high school a little bit later.
So do you think there are too many obstacles and it can't be done and shouldn't be done? Or having thought about it, and if you've been on committees and you're saying budget also has a role to play here, is there a solution that you see?
It's just a difficult solution, let's put it that way, and that once you start to really look in depth into the issue and how it affects the overall community, it's a much deeper issue than just saying, okay, let's start the high school half an hour later.
Dr. Bruner, want to talk to Don?
Yes, and I think, Don, your concerns are actually valid, and yet not, in that we have clearly shown in other school districts throughout the country, we actually have data that shows that even though it's difficult, it really isn't that much more expensive to change the bus transportation schedules, and that what would happen would be the flip where the elementary schools would start earlier. These kids are awake earlier anyway, and the high schoolers would start later. The issues around after-school childcare is a problem, but I really don't think that kids' academic and honestly just being able to survive through the rest of their lives with a good education under their belt should be sacrificed to providing childcare for their siblings. I don't think that's, even though that is an argument, I don't think that is one that justifies poor academic performance and depression and car crashes in teenagers.
Well, you know, I want to go from Don, and Don, thank you, to Jamie in Westchester, because I think we're going to hear a story here of somebody who had success in fighting a school district for a later start time and won. Jamie, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jamie.
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Nice to be on your show. I've listened to you for a long time. Yes, when I arrived in Westchester in 2005, I realized that our son would have to go to school at 7:30 in the morning for middle school, which was a bit of a shock to us. So I set about tackling the local school board, which luckily is fairly small and reasonably responsive. And after a lot of initial resistance, I actually got the superintendent to look at the whole timetable. And he figured out that he could actually do it without major disruption and push the start time back from 7:30 to 8:15, which wasn't as late as the 9 o'clock I would have liked, but was a good compromise.
Hey, 45 minutes is something.
Right. And even to this day, years later, parents still come up to me and say, thank you so much. It's made our lives so much better, et cetera. And I just thought you'd be interested to know that in the UK, they've just started a study with 20,000 high school kids who are being allowed to choose their own start time up to about 11:30 in the morning, I believe.
Huh.
They're doing it as a huge experiment.
And what are they choosing? How are they self-selecting? Do you know?
I'm not exactly sure how they're self-selecting, but I think certain schools have been brought into this, and kids basically have the right to choose when they start, and the schedule is arranged accordingly. I don't know the full details, but it certainly sounds like something that is where they're taking a major interest in this.
Is there not as much after-school sports in the UK, since that keeps coming up as an issue in these conversations here? Do you know, Jamie?
I think that it's more contained within the school day, and certainly, you know, as you can probably tell, I'm British. We used to actually have a system, especially in the winter, where we would do sports straight after school and then go back to the classroom afterwards. But, I mean, I think here the issue is sports again and again. I hear that coming up for high schools especially. And, well, one solution is to start the academics later and do sports training in the morning and get kids' blood flowing and they wake their brains up. And if people really want to do sports, they'll get up and do that. But I don't think that everyone should be pushed by the sports bus, so to speak, and have to you know, follow along. And
right.
Alternatively, if parents want to say their kids, I want my kid to leave school early in the afternoon to go and play sports because they think that's more important, that's totally fine. But everyone's kids shouldn't be forced to start early just so the elite sports guys can complete their school day before they play sports.
Jamie, your district is Pelham, right? We got another tweet from somebody who said, Pelham starts at 8:15. We're a geographically small district with no bus service, which alleviates that logistics obstacle. That's the district that you won this in, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true, yeah.
So good. Jamie, thank you very much. Well, Dr. Bruner, he put a very provocative idea out there at the end of his call, did Jamie? What about if sports is driving this issue so much, and sports is a voluntary extracurricular activity, what if they made sports, I know it sounds a little crazy to have, you know, your high school league baseball game at 6:30 in the morning or something like that. But what if they put the sports first and then let the academic day start later?
Well, I think, I think that would be an interesting experiment or a study to do throughout a district. I don't think that's one that has been promoted per se, except that we do know that there are many sports that do early practices in terms of swimming or some of the other skating, where these kids are getting up quite early to get onto the rink or into the pools before school starts. And so there are some places where there's precedent for those particular activities, and it'd be interesting to look at those. I don't think they're competing at that early of an hour, but I do like what he said, what Jamie said about just really, do we really think that 20 to 30% of kids in the high school should dictate what the entire school has in terms of a start time?
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair. We do have a number of studies that do show that kids that are involved in sports have better self-esteem, do better in school, and probably get better sleep, to be honest with you, than those who are not involved in
really?
Sports. So
because,
I don't really want to, you know, malign sports
yeah.
and say they're
and not,
the evil ones.
Not to malign sports, but in terms of a minority driving a majority. Do you find that sports, there's research that shows that sports, regardless of sleep, is correlated with better attentiveness and the other things you mentioned?
Definitely. I
because mean, of the physical activity,
right?
Right.
You can't participate in a sport if you are not at school. So because of the attendance rates is right. really tied in with being able to compete. So that's the carrot that many schools will push back, which is if we don't get these kids to – we can get a kid to school even if they're sleeping throughout most of the day. If we can, and then we can get them on the field, and then we can get them to have proper coaching and do better academically and get off to college. So I understand that argument, and I think it's valid. I just don't think it's impossible to change a sport to start later. I don't really understand why that, when they start practicing, is what has to dictate when the schools start.
So before you go, just tell us what kind of response you've gotten from school districts since the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with this 8:30 start time, no earlier than 8:30 for teenagers recommendation the other week. Do you feel like you're going to have an impact?
That's a wonderful question, Brian, and I have had a lot of questions about this, and I've spoken to administrators and parents, and the amount of press with this policy statement has been fabulous, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I actually think that there will be change with this. The Academy of Pediatrics has over 62,000 pediatricians, both in the United States and internationally. It's a very powerful organization that's been around for quite a while. And this is a policy statement with over 120 citations and has a lot of research. It took us 4 years to write this policy statement. And we hope that this is what parents can use and other advocates throughout the country to get things to change. I was just on a radio show out of Cleveland a few minutes ago, actually, with an administrator, and actually they are in support of this. I think what we need as a country of very concerned parents and budget-minded people is to really just look at the dollars and cents of it and actually make the things happen and follow the lead of Minnesota and many other school districts throughout the country that have already done this. It's not like we don't need to reinvent the wheel and how to make this happen. Our kids are our greatest resource, believe it or not, they as much as we don't necessarily like our teenagers, they are the best things that have ever happened to us.
Speak for yourself. I know my 16-year-old is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
So there you go. We leave it there with Dr. Cora Bruner, Professor of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine at the Seattle Children's Hospital and a member of the Committee on Adolescence for the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is now recommending no earlier than an 8:30 school start time for teenagers in middle and high school. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
Your mama's gone away and your daddy's gonna stay. Don't leave nobody but the baby. Go to sleep, you little baby.
Go to sleep, you little baby.